1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight that You would give us understanding as we think of this subject about the Lord's return and what that should mean to us and how it should affect us. And Lord, we do thank You that we do have that wonderful prospect, an assurance that someday Jesus is going to return for us. And He's going to come and take us home to be with Him. And Lord, we know we're not worthy of that. It's because of Your grace that we can even look forward to it. But how we thank You that it's true. So keep us faithful, Lord, until that time. And teach us from Your Word tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Since Jesus is going to return for us, since He is coming back, should it make a difference in the way we live? Should it make a difference in the way we look at things? I mean, just what kind of difference is it in the Christian's life to know that Jesus is going to return? I'd like to talk to you about that tonight. And we begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul there in that passage in verse 10 says, we're waiting for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, part of that wrath to come is what we talked about this morning. Those first six sealed judgments and then the many that are going to follow that. But Jesus delivered us from that. And the way He's going to deliver us if we're alive at that time, right before that time, is to take us out of here. And so we're waiting for that. We're waiting for the Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's talk about the difference that it does make in us as Christians. Since Jesus is going to return for us, what does it mean to us? Well, I believe, first of all, since Jesus is coming, we should be holy. Since He is coming, we should be holy. Now, I want to show you several verses tonight, several passages, really. And so I hope you'll follow in your Bibles. Let's begin in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. And the word conversation there really means citizenship. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And now chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Now, He just told them that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And then He says in chapter 4, therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He says, since Jesus is going to return for us, it should cause us to want to live a holy life. Now, notice how He describes that holy life that we should live. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Because Jesus is going to return, our life should be dedicated to Him. It should be set apart to Him so that we're standing fast, not moved, but standing fast in the Lord. And then He says this, I beseech you, Odius, and beseech Syntyche, they be of the same mind in the Lord. Since Jesus is coming back, church, get along. You know, don't be at each other's throat. Don't be divided and divisive among yourselves. but get along. And he says, Euodias and Syntyche, they weren't getting along. He says, be of the same mind. Jesus is coming back. And also treat thee also true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also and other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He said, help them. I mean, all of you help each other because Jesus is coming back. And we're to live a life that's set apart unto the Lord. And part of that means that let's get along. And then he goes on, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, that means sweet reasonableness, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He had said earlier that Lord Jesus Christ is going to, we're looking for him who's coming from heaven. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. So since the Lord's coming is at hand, it should affect the way we live. We should live holy lives set apart unto him. Now look at another passage which also has a context of the coming of the Lord and instruction to us on how we should live. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus is coming back. And since Jesus is coming back and he's going to appear and we're going to appear with him in glory, he says, verse 5, therefore, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And so we should be dead to these types of sin. He said, fornication. Should it make a difference how we live because we know Jesus is coming back? It sure should. I mean, we could see him in any moment. Let's say in your life you have this temptation of the flesh, and maybe it's involved and it concerns immorality, and you're contemplating maybe participating in that. If you're a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Lord is saying to look, I'm coming back, and it could be at any moment. And knowing that I'm coming back, shouldn't that change the way you live? I mean, the one who died for you on the cross and paid for your sin, he's coming back, you're going to see him. Surely you don't want to participate in this sin. And it should cause a true Christian to stop and say, no, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to say no to the flesh because I could see Jesus just any moment and how ashamed I would feel. He said, because he's coming back, therefore put to death those things, those sins, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. And then he says, evil concupiscence. Inordinate affection would mean passions. Evil concupiscence means evil desires. And covetousness, which is idolatry. Since Jesus is coming back, he said, we should live holy lives. Therefore, put to death those sins. Now, let's look at another context. Look at the book of Titus, chapter 2. So Philippians says, because Jesus is coming back, it should affect the way you live, and you should live a holy life. Colossians says the same thing. Now look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He's saying we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And because of that, we should be careful how we live. We should live holy lives. And verse 12, in that context, he would say this, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The fact that Jesus is coming back should make a big difference to how we look at sin. And I believe that so many times even Christians can get caught up into this popular thing today of laughing about sin. And it's, as I've said just recently in the message, I don't remember when it was, but one of the most harmful things about some of the things that are shown on TV, some of the ungodly things, is the background laughter behind it. I mean, I never watch these programs, but one of I think about that just turns my stomach even anytime I even see a commercial about it. It's Everybody Loves Raymond. I think every Christian should hate it because they're always laughing about sin. At least all the advertisements they give. I'm not going to give the time of day to even watch a program of that. But what it is, they'll say something that's ungodly. They'll say something that's just that's centered around lust and just ungodliness. And then the background, laughter. And I think the laughter is actually worse than what they just said. Because they're laughing about sin. And God says, fools make a mock of sin. Now, why should we not be involved in that? We should not be involved in that because we know Jesus is coming back. And He's the one that died for that sin. He's the one that paid for that on the cross of Calvary. He shed His own blood for us to rescue us from the result of sin. And we shouldn't laugh about that terrible thing. And so God says that knowing Jesus is coming back should teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world because Jesus is returning. Now let's look at another passage that speaks the same thing. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, I believe the day of the Lord is a period of time which starts at the tribulation period, goes through the tribulation period, and goes through the millennial reign of Christ. It's the day when God, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes charge on this earth, first of all through judgments and all those judgments that are coming upon the earth, and then through literally ruling and reigning for 1,000 years on this earth. That's the day of the Lord. That long period of time, 1,007 years, is the day of the Lord. Now he says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that day of the Lord, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. I know that's going to be at the actual end of it. But in that day of the Lord, that's going to happen. And he says this, The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back for us before that day of the Lord starts. But He says, look, since we know that all these things are going to happen, all these material things are going to burn up, I mean, shouldn't that determine what kind of people we should be? And He says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What we're saying is since Jesus is coming back for the church, then we should live holy lives. It should cause us to be holy. One other passage. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. Verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But notice this, but we know that when He shall appear, Jesus is coming back, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Jesus died for us, and he's coming back again. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Since Jesus is coming back for us, it should cause us to want to live holy lives. And everybody who has that hope in him, knowing that Jesus could return at any moment, it's going to change the way we live. So it involves holiness. But then there's a second thing. Since Jesus is coming back, it also teaches us to be busy. To be busy about what he wants us to do. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. So this is the one who's left, and he's going to come back. It's a picture of Jesus who's leaving, who has left, but he is coming back. And what's he say? Since I'm coming back, he says, you occupy till I come. The word occupy means busy yourself. Or be engaged in business. You be active. You be doing until I come back. And because Jesus is coming back, it should cause us to be busy. Now, what should we be busy doing? Well, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. You remember Jesus said to them, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. They tell him, Jesus, this one you've seen leave, he's coming back. And right before he left, Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. The Lord says, because I am coming back, I want you to be busy. I want you to occupy till I come. I want you to be involved in missionary work, reaching those here and also around the world. I want you to be involved in that. So we're to be busy taking the gospel to people. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we know that means right after the return of the Lord. He's coming back. What's going to happen after that? We're going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. He says, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then in the same context, he says, I remind you, until that time, You are ambassadors for Christ. Be busy about representing the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the message to everyone, because Jesus is coming back. So because Jesus is coming back, or since He's coming back, we should be holy. And also, since He's coming back, we should be busy, because it could be any time. So we might not have that much time left until Jesus returns. We should be busy sharing the message. We should also of salvation, but we should also be busy of teaching the Word of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. You know this passage is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we go and we reach people, and then we teach people. Since Jesus is coming back, we should be busy teaching them the Word of God. If you'll go to 1 Peter chapter 5, you'll find this the same thought mentioned there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Peter is talking to those who are going to be, who are the elders, who are going to be feeding the flock. And he says in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." And then notice this. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The Lord says to us, "I'm coming back. And since I'm coming back, you should be busy. Busy sharing the gospel. Busy teaching the word. And the pastor should make sure that he's teaching the word faithfully. Faithfully presenting the word of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight, not by constraint, but willingly." And then he goes on to say, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," he's coming back. So why should I teach the flock? Why should I preach the Word of God? Why should I preach through the book of Revelation? Why should we study through the book of Titus? Why should we do all the doctrinal studies we've done in the past? Why should we teach the Word of God? The answer is Jesus is coming back. Why should we be busy doing that? Because Jesus is coming back. Why should Brother Danny White be setting up that conference to speak to those people in Panama? Why should he be doing that? Why should he be involving his time and energy to train those men who come to him? Why should he be going to that conference so many of those people can come and learn the Word of God? There's a real good reason for that. Jesus is coming back. And he said, "You occupy till I come. You be busy doing this till I come. This is your commandment. I want you to share the Word of God, teach the Word of God. I'm coming back, and when I come back, you'll give an account." And we don't want to be standing there before the Lord and say, "Well, Lord, I know you told me to do it, but I just didn't have time. Or it was too hard. And it was easier to do other things. You know, it was easier to entertain the people, Lord, than to teach the people. And so I just didn't do it. It took too much time to study. I just didn't feel that was important. I thought other things were more important. And so, Lord, I just didn't do it." And then we'll stand there. We really won't say that. Because when we stand before Jesus, I don't think we're going to say a word. Because you already know He knows everything. And He knows everything about why. And He knows how flimsy our excuses are. And we'll know that. And all we'll just do is stand there to see what He has to say to us, not what we say to Him. And the Lord says, "You be busy because I'm coming back." Busy doing what God would have you to do. Another thing God wants us busy doing because He's coming back is just doing good. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the whole context there, of course, is the Lord's return. Verse 51 of that passage, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Jesus is coming back, and we're going to be changed. Well, since that's true, then what should we be doing? Well, look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just keep on, keeping on for Jesus. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 17. Having gotten the context there about the appearing of the Lord, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Since Jesus is coming back, we should be busy. Busy sharing the Word of God, sharing the gospel message, busy in missionary work, busy in teaching the Word of God, busy in doing good. Jesus, when He walked on this earth, it said of Him that He went about doing good. We are representatives of the Lord, and we're to go about doing good. Every day gives us opportunities to do that. Just go about doing what God would have you to do. Submitting to other people many times. Maybe you would rather do something else, but the need is there in front of you, and you know that you need to do something for someone. God says you'd go about doing good. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. The day is going to come, we'll be in heaven, there won't be any needs around us. There won't be anybody that needs help. There won't be anybody that's sick to visit in the hospital. There won't be anybody laying up in a rest home. There won't be anybody that's just gone through sorrow and you need to go to the funeral home. There won't be any of that. There won't be anybody that's hungry. There won't be anybody out of work. There won't be any of that. Everything will be perfect. And so, since that's going to happen after He returns, then the Lord says, until I return, you be busy. Be busy doing good, because that's what God wants us to do. And so, since Jesus is coming back, we should be holy. Since Jesus is coming back, we should also be busy. But then one final thing. Since Jesus is coming back, we should also be watching. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're waiting for somebody, you're looking for them. If somebody said, you know, we're going to come see you this weekend, you're making preparation, you're waiting for them to come, that means you're looking for them. And you're expecting them. The Lord wants us to be expecting Jesus. Since He's coming back, it's changed our life. We're living holy lives. We're busy about His business, doing what He wants us to do. He says, occupy do I come. And any moment He might come. So we're wanting to be busy doing what God wants us to do until He comes. But also we're expecting Him. We're waiting for Him. We're looking forward to it. And so we're waiting for the Lord to come. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, we read it earlier. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we looking for Him? Why are we longing for His return? Well, I think some of you know the reason, some of the reasons for that. It'll mean the end of all of our troubles. All of our troubles will be over. And you know, if you knew that the day was coming when you wouldn't have any more troubles, wouldn't you look forward to that? Wouldn't you look forward to trouble-free days? No more sickness, no more pain, no more inconvenience, no more disabilities, no more inability to do what you would like to do. None of that. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're in Romans chapter 8. Now you've probably found it. Look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're waiting for Jesus. We're looking forward to it. Because it's going to mean the redemption of our body. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we've been bought with that price and released. But still, there's a work yet to be done. And that is, God needs to change our body. And He's going to do that someday. And give us a brand new, glorious body. And we're waiting for that. And so, we're waiting for the Lord. It will mean that the time will come when we'll be manifested for who we really are. The world doesn't recognize us as children of God. They recognize us sometimes as inconveniences. They recognize us as people who don't understand. They recognize us as people who are behind times. They don't believe that we really understand how the real world is like. But we do. And we're children of God. And we have the truth. And we believe the truth. We know why things have happened. We know what's going to happen in the future. We have the book, the Word of God, and we believe it. They count this as insignificant. We count it as the truth. And they don't understand who we are. But the day will come, the Lord will manifest us for who we are. Verse 19, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And someday God will put His people on display as who we really are. And it'll bring a wonderful, I believe, just a wonderful experience to be able to know that even the world understands what Jesus has done for us and who He has made us. He's made us heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So we're waiting for the Lord's return. Since He's coming back, we're waiting. We're expecting. That expectation also includes reward. We won't take time to look at it tonight, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, other passages as well say there's reward coming. And we're looking forward to that reward when the Lord places those crowns on our heads as crowns of reward that we get for serving Him. It'll bring us face to face with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The song says, I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hands. And someday we're going to see Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 says, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet rejoicing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so, knowing that Jesus is coming back brings us to the place where we're expecting that and we're waiting for it. What difference does it make that we know the Lord's returning? Since Jesus is coming back, it should mean that we should be holy. Since Jesus is coming back, it should mean that we be busy. And since Jesus is coming back, it should mean that we are waiting for Him to return. And it could be just any minute. You know it could be tonight? There's probably a good meal downstairs. I like good meals. I like at least three of them a day. But we might not get to eat that meal. And if we don't, because Jesus returned, we won't be saying, well, we didn't get to. We'll say, thank the Lord we didn't have to because we're with Him. And to be with Jesus is far better than anything this world offers. And it could happen at any moment. The next time I see all of you could be when you're all young. The next time I see all of you could be when you're all perfect. And all of you are not. In fact, none of you are. But if Jesus would return now, the next time I would see you, every one of you would be perfect. You'd be perfectly young. You'd have a brand new body. And all your problems would be gone and everything would be solved and we'd be with Jesus. Since Jesus is coming back, It should give us an expectation. We should be waiting for that return. And I believe that brings us that final result. And that is, since Jesus is coming back, it should bring us great joy. Just to know that. And it'll be a joy that just seems to, if we allow it, will seem to make everything else understandable. Because we might say, well, these days are so dark and these days are so black and things are happening that I just don't understand. But when I know that the Lord's coming back, I can say, Lord, there's a real joy in just knowing that. And I know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us and should produce a joy in our hearts that nothing else can give. Friend, Jesus is coming back. And I'm glad that this is not just a chart, but I believe based upon the Scripture, this is a picture of reality when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and we're going to go up, meet Him in the air, and He's going to take us up with Him. I'm looking forward to the realization of those arrows right there. It's going to happen, and it could be today. Let's pray. Father, thank You that Jesus is coming back. I pray that it might have that effect in our life, that we are more holy because that's true. May we be more busy doing Your will because that's true. May we be watchful, Lord, because that's true. And may we be joyful because it's true. Help us to believe it. And may it be proved in our lives as people observe us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.